director Janka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.0 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Brandon Wiley.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Paul Rowland hosts Wednesday Talk Radio, and his guest will be Harsh Wallis, a social justice activist and writer from Vancouver, BC. Wallis is the author of Undoing Border Imperialism. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh speaks with Rick Doblin of the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies about the therapeutic uses of MDMA. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's The Bike Show, news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can certainly become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Good night, Brandon.
Good night, sir.
Now stay tuned for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Private individual arbitration. It's buried in the fine print of credit card agreements and cell phone applications. Nowadays, it's also found in rental car agreements, substance abuse treatment program admission contracts, even nursing home applications. More and more, contracts these days contain provisions forcing people to accept binding private arbitration, even in cases involving wrongful death. The growth of these provisions is no coincidence. Corporate interests have worked and lobbied for years to limit options for consumers, and because of Supreme Court decisions in 2011 and 2013, contracts can legally include a ban on class action suits. Some people on both the right and the left are working to change that. The Center for Justice and Democracy is a consumer advocate and civil justice organization based at New York School of Law. We spoke with the center's executive director, Joanne Dorshow, to learn more about forced arbitration.
Well, what it does is it forces you, if you have a dispute with a company, it forces you into a system, prohibits you from going to court if something should go wrong, forces you into a system that they control, that is biased, that has virtually no appeal. And what we know about these systems is they are real nightmares for the average person. Most of the time, if somebody has a dispute with a bank, let's say, or a cell phone company, it's small enough that they really can't afford to bring an individual case. So typically what happens in these situations is people join with others in class actions. And it's the only way to sort of make a company that has been overcharging or cheating people to make them stop doing this and to give people their money back. But people can't afford to do that on an individual basis. So these forced arbitration clauses not only tell people they have to go into arbitration that's controlled by the company, but they're unable, they're not allowed to join together with others in a class action lawsuit, which is really the only way they're going to be able to get any accountability.
Now, the move toward private, forced arbitration has been reinforced by some Supreme Court decisions in the last few years. Could you tell me about those?
There have been two major Supreme Court decisions on this topic, one in 2011 and then in 2013. And both of them together tell us that if a company or an employer wants to put one of these clauses, bury them in a contract, in a term of use agreement that you maybe click on the internet, and of course, who reads ever reads those things? They're allowed to put these forced arbitration clauses in these contracts. They're allowed to ban class actions, and there is basically nothing you can do about it. Because all these companies are doing the same thing, you can't negotiate. There's no way you can find a company in many cases that that doesn't include one of these, so you're sort of stuck with it. And the only way, unfortunately, now that the Supreme Court has upheld them, the only way we're going to really fix this problem is for Congress to fix it. And there are bills in Congress that would fix or repair these Supreme Court decisions, and it's important for everybody to let their member of Congress know that they support bills to allow class actions and to prohibit these forced arbitration clauses.
When in fact, Senator Al Franken is co-sponsoring a piece of legislation this session. Could you tell us some of the details? What would Senator Franken's bill do?
Yes, Senator Franken, and there's a companion bill in the House by Congressman Hank Johnson. They have been pushing hard on this issue. Their legislation would prohibit companies from inserting these forced arbitration clauses in contracts, including in employment contracts, because we're seeing more of them. If you have to, you know, get a job, and sign an employment agreement, typically they're in there as well. So Franken and Johnson have a bill with a number of co-sponsors in the House and Senate that would prohibit these clauses, it's going to be a hard struggle to get this bill passed, obviously, but you have to start somewhere, and fortunately, they are great advocates on behalf of consumers and employees in this situation, and they're going to keep pushing.
In the New York Times pieces on forced arbitration, they're talking about some of the religious organizations and religious arbitration, the Teen Challenge case from a few years ago. Are you familiar with any of that? Could you speak at all about religious arbitration?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of something fairly new where if they're a company that has some kind of connection to religion, typically Christianity, will insert an arbitration clause in, or not just Christianity, but Scientology is another one, will insert an arbitration clause in any kind of agreement that somebody might have with them. So what the Times, for example, explored was a rehab place that somebody had sent their son to, and it was affiliated with a religious organization, and there was an arbitration clause, and as a result of this clause, the family was completely unable to find out whatever happened to their son. What's disturbing about this is that these clauses are covering things like wrongful death, you know, situations that would normally you would have a constitutional right to go to court and try to sue an entity that you felt was responsible for the death of a loved one, was negligent in some way. And now it seems like a religious institution is able to insert one of these clauses and strip somebody completely of their constitutional right to go to court, even in a situation like that where somebody dies and it's a loved one that you're trying to find answers to what happens. So this is a new thing, and the New York Times, as you said, just did a pretty extensive investigation of this.
Aside from the legislature, the legislative solution, there's also an agency solution. As I understand, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a draft rule that would ban some of these arbitration clauses. Could you tell us about that, and does it have a chance of going into actual effect?
Yes, one of the most hopeful things that we have seen so far is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has jurisdiction over any kind of consumer financial product, credit cards, banks, et cetera, has a proposal pending, and they're going to probably develop this into a rule that would at least prohibit companies from inserting these class action bans in the arbitration clauses. The class action tool is really the only way that victims who have been cheated or defrauded by banks, credit card companies, and so forth can get into court. And all of the companies now are inserting class action bans inside their forced arbitration clauses. So what the CFPB would do is prohibit companies from doing that and allow people to bring class actions. And we're very hopeful that this rule is going to go through, and I hope that people let the agency know they support their decision-making in this, because they are up against some pretty strong and powerful corporate interests that don't want to be regulated in this way and want to continue to ban people from bringing class actions against them. So it's a very, very hopeful sign, and we're, as all the, I think all the consumer advocates in the country are very hopeful that the CFPB will finally issue this rule.
It's about the details in the fine print, but it's not like people actually have a choice, is it? I mean, these...
Well, that's the problem. I mean, people don't have a choice. If corporations are so convinced that these are such great alternatives for consumers, then give people a choice. But they don't. You know, they bury these things in fine print. They make it a condition for getting the credit card, or, you know, putting a loved one in a nursing home. Now, those clauses, admission forms in nursing homes have these clauses. Renting a car, it's the condition for getting this service or product. And in many industries, like nursing homes, for example, every single nursing home is doing this now. So you want to try to get a loved one into a nursing home, you have no choice but to sign one of these clauses. So there is really, it's not voluntary. There is no choice. And unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't care. And they have said, it doesn't matter. You know, we're gonna uphold these things. So there we go.
Now, how can people keep up with what's going on with this legislation and with this issue generally, and keep up with your work?
Yes, well, we have a website which frequently reports on what's happening, and a blog. So if you just go to our website, you can be pointed to all of these things. It's centerjd.org, CENTERJD.org. Again, it's the Center for Justice and Democracy.
That was Joanne Doroshow. She's the executive director of the Center for Justice and Democracy at New York School of Law. They're consumer advocates and civil justice activists on the web at centerjd.org. Turning to the right, Dean Clancy is a conservative, a former White House and congressional staffer who writes on health care, the budget, and constitutional issues. We spoke with him today to get his perspective.
Well, as we've seen in these recent New York Times investigative reports, forced arbitration is a huge and growing problem. People are losing access to their day in court and are being cheated by corporations and forced into arbitrations where due process is not necessarily respected, where there's no transparency, and where the arbitrators often basically work for the companies that they have a dispute with. And so the arbitration thing is a big, big problem.
Your stance is that even conservatives should be jumping into this. Tell me about that.
I'm a conservative who happens to think that conservatism means being for the individual and market forces and the Constitution, and not just for business. And I think my fellow conservatives really ought to focus on the fact that these forced arbitration agreements really are not voluntary. They're being imposed on people on a take-it-or-leave-it basis by big corporations that can get away with it because of things that the Congress and the Supreme Court have done over the decades. But in fact, the truly free market-oriented position, in my view, is to let the consumer choose whether he wants to sue or accept arbitration voluntarily.
Now, I understand there's also a rule being considered by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Do you know anything about that? Can you speak to what impact that could have?
The CFPB is looking at proposing, in fact, is getting ready to finalize a proposed rule that would basically eliminate forced arbitration clauses in consumer credit agreements, like credit cards and that sort of thing. And this would be a great progress for the consumer. This is something that the Chamber of Commerce and pro-business Republicans have tried to stop in Congress. But I would argue that they should support Obama's Consumer Protection Board on this one, because Congress itself authorized this. Basically, it's moving away from the federal law that got us into this mess, the Arbitration Act of 1925. So what CFPB is doing, I think, is going in the right direction.
Well, I've been speaking with Dean Clancy. He's a conservative, a former White House and congressional staffer. And Mr. Clancy, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News.
And the time is 6 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. All right. Thanks for tuning in.
President Obama visits a federal prison. There's a call to federal prosecutors to lessen the use of mandatory minimums. There's bipartisan congressional support for reform. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear national leader Van Jones, who believes now is the time.